Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network on this Monday, November the 11th. We thank you for listening to AFR, and co-hosting with me today in studio is Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Good to be here on this Monday, Veterans Day.
It is Veterans Day. All right, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Dr. Ray Pritchard, he's going to join us momentarily. You served in the Army
or military?
Yeah, the Canadian military. And what branch?
Air Force.
Air Force. Now, I'm certain in Canada they have something akin to or just like we have here.
Today is Remembrance Day. They call it Remembrance Day in Canada.
But so it's the same day.
Same focus, yes.
Okay, Remembrance Day in Canada, Veterans Day here in the U.S. And we want to raise ready. Okay, Dr. Ray Pritchard joins us from Kansas City. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Doing well. You have a good weekend?
Yes, I did. It was warm and beautiful, and then the cold weather hit, and now it is 18 degrees and blowing snow.
So, are you serious?
Yeah.
What was the high yesterday?
It was about 62, so we've dropped about 43 degrees in the last 24 hours.
Oh, my. Well, that sweeping across.
Go ahead, blame Canada.
Yeah. Polar that's right. It has something to do with Canada. Yeah, blame Saskatchewan Canada. Or something.
Well, that what you're talking about is, sweeping across most of the U.S.
It's all the way down to the Gulf Coast of Mississippi.
Okay.
This Polar Express is just roaring through.
Right.
We're going to get it in Mississippi here.
Right.
Over the next few hours.
Right. I was checking the Tupelo forecast, and it's just like what you had there in Kansas City, except, 24 hours later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're going to bottom out now the low for us tonight is 24. But you're 18 right now?
We're 18 going down to 11 tonight.
I tell you what, when this kind of thing happens in November the 11th, it makes you appreciate global warming, doesn't it?
That's right.
I'm telling you.
So get Al Gore on the telephone. Something's gone haywire.
That's right, because we want some more. We want our global warming back.
We want some of that warming
back.
Turn
it up.
Oh, my word. That's just crazy. But, when whiplash weather like this happens, the climate change people can say it's a win-win for them.
Yes.
They say climate change. And if it
if
it heats up, the climate change cools down, climate change. So anyway,
yeah.
All right, much to discuss in the news, and we don't have any guests at this hour, do we?
Nope.
So it's just us three.
Us three.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead, Ray.
It is Veterans Day. We were talking about that, and the president has just wrapped up a speech. He was in New York where he. Honored our veterans, honored our first responders, and of course he's in New York. He talked a lot about what happened on 9/11, but also what our men and women in military are doing today. And they're still after the bad guys all over the world who threaten our security. But also there was a very moving ceremony this morning just outside of Fox TV News headquarters in New York, and They had a swearing-in ceremony for members of our military who, up to this morning, were not citizens of the United States. It was very impressive. There were people from all over the world. A lot of folks may not be aware of this. People who had come to this country legally, and wanted to join our military before they became U.S. citizens. And people from the African continent, people from, I believe it was South America. It was really quite fascinating. So they were sworn in as citizens this morning. The Ken Cuccinelli, who is the acting director of the Citizenship and Immigration Services Office, along with President Trump, and Lee Greenwood was there. He sings, of course, the anthem that he has been famous, Love the USA. So let's hear a little bit of this ceremony that took place, the naturalization ceremony, that took place outside of Fox this morning for these now citizens of the United States, and they are members of our military. Cut number one.
That I will support and defend,
the Constitution and laws
of the United States of America.
Against all enemies,
foreign and domestic.
That I will. Congratulations to our new citizens. On behalf of all the men and women of the United States Citizenship and Immigration Services, one of the greatest honors of my job is to be the first person to refer to you as my fellow Americans.
My dear fellow American, it is with great pride that I welcome you into the American family. No matter where you come from or what faith you practice, this country is now your country. Our history is now your history. And our traditions are now your traditions.
So that was the ceremony outside of Fox headquarters in New York City.
Okay, so the president was actually there.
No, president, it was a recorded speech. He was in New York. He was in New York, also in New York today, but at another venue. And Vice President Pence about to speak at a ceremony at Arlington in just a few moments.
Okay, so now let me ask you this, and Ray, feel free to chime in here. Do either one of you know that if you serve in the military, you come to the U.S., you're not a citizen.
Correct.
You join the military, and in return for a certain number of years of service, you're granted citizenship. Is that the way that works?
I'm not sure if it's automatic, but you do qualify, certainly, to apply for citizenship.
Okay. Do you know about that, Ray?
I don't know about that. I've never heard that, but it certainly makes sense.
Maybe we should – maybe somebody can post the right answer on our Facebook page. Who knows about this, today's issues. I'll mention it now. Today's Issues Facebook page or YouTube. Today's Issues YouTube or Facebook page. And maybe somebody, Brent, if you can monitor that, maybe somebody knows the correct answer to that question. Regardless, they were celebrating the new citizenship for, for those people who had been in our military.
Yes, excellent.
There. Veterans Day, is different from Memorial Day in what way?
Well, on Memorial Day, we remember those who, in the service of their country, lost their lives on the field of battle. On Veterans Day, we remember first those who served in any war in American history, and then second, we remember all the men, all the women, who have served or are currently serving in any branch of the military. And so it's a little bit broader holiday than Memorial Day. It's just for it. We pause and we give thanks for those who have served and those who are serving right now.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
I saw the movie Midway over the weekend.
Oh. So how was that?
Very, very good movie. It's based on the now let me just caveat that, as we often have to do, don't we? There's some language in there you need to be aware of that, you know, that would have been probably accurate in a military in a military war type setting, but the story itself was, I thought it was well told, and I'd read about Midway somewhat and heard about it. If you know World War II at all, you've heard about Midway, but this recounts the whole story from the time Pearl Harbor was bombed until Midway took place. And I'll just tell you this, and I know this is true of our military personnel, our servicemen and women down through the history of our country, but the bravery of those, you know, soldiers and airmen and seamen, just I can't identify with it, how courageous these people were in defense of their country. And had it not been for their courageousness, you know, we wouldn't have won. We wouldn't have won, you know, World War II, for example.
Yeah, you go back to those earlier battles, and in no way am I diminishing the bravery required today, but they did not have the equipment that we have today. When you're
You're right. You had to physically do a lot of things. You can drone now.
The sophisticated fighter jets that we have today.
Yes. The smart bombs.
Smart bombs. You know, they're told press the button and away it goes, and they go home.
They show these planes having to go out and find.
Right. They didn't know where. They knew the Japanese fleet was out there somewhere. Right.
Yes. But they had to go out and find them. So they're going all over the Pacific, not all over, but these planes are going over the Pacific Ocean looking for Japanese warships. But let me ask you this question. I was going to look this up tonight at home. One of you two may know the answer to this question. I asked Allison, my wife, about this too. We were talking about it. What was it? Right, I'll start with you. Do you know what was the motivation or the reason that the Japanese decided to attack the U.S. at Pearl Harbor? We weren't at war with Japan. Japan was why did they do that?
I can only give a little part of the answer. I think our listeners could give much better, but the Japanese government was set in the late 1930s. They were set on their greater East Asia coast prosperity sphere, which meant they wanted control of everything from the eastern side of China all the way through the western part of the Pacific. And to do that, of necessity, meant they were going to have to go to war. Now, why they actually decided to go up against us at Pearl Harbor, I don't know that I can answer that clearly. Fred, maybe you've got a good answer.
No, I don't. I suppose it was the closest target to the agenda that Ray is talking about there. And they felt that the American forces at that time would not certainly suspect them of doing what they did. But they underestimated the American resolve once again.
It was a total miscalculation, right?
It sure was.
You talk about an overreach. I'm just thinking, and maybe there's more than what you just two guys have shared in terms of motivation. But I was just thinking to myself, don't you have enough to worry about by invading mainland China? And controlling. If your hope is to dominate your region of the world, I think you've got your hands full. Japan, I don't know why you would want to attack the United States of America. And in the movie, they mention one of the generals in the Japanese army saying we've awakened a sleeping giant.
Right.
But I mean, I'm looking back now going, the idea that you would occupy LA, San Francisco, and Seattle is insane.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That was never going to happen.
Right. So what is your point? It seemed like to me they just wanted to do it. I don't know why they attacked Pearl Harbor and got America involved in that part of the war. Now were Japan and. I know you guys aren't World War II experts,
Tom Brokaw here.
Hey, I did read the Greatest Generation, excellent book.
Yeah,
from Tom Brokaw, probably about 15 years ago it was released. I've forgotten, but right. That was one of the best books I've ever read. The Greatest Generation by Tom Brokaw. I know he's a liberal, but he did a great job on that book. It's about the World War II generation. Mm-hmm. But what was the connection between? Japan and Hitler.
You got me.
Do you know, Ray? Other than they were both, I mean, they had no, I guess Japan would have won this.
Co-belligerents, I guess.
I guess Japan would have won this side of the world. Hitler would have won that side of the world. And then they duked it out somewhere in Mongolia or something. I don't know. I don't know what.
One thing in common for sure. They found out they were wrong.
Yeah, exactly. And they awakened the sleeping giant.
They sure did.
Anyway, I want to read more about that. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, and we do salute all of our veterans. It is Veterans Day across the U.S. and Remembrance Day in Fred's
I just want to go back and talk about today's military. Yeah. Look, just as brave. We just saw a brave group of people who took out the terrorist leader, the ISIS leader, just the other day, the last 2 weeks. When I've read a little bit about that, the precision, and you talk about bravery, going into that compound, knowing the dangers that they face.
Physically going in,
And unfortunately, the mainstream media seemed to concentrate a lot on the dog that was there to help them. But boys, oh boys, I tell you what, you can train for these things, but when it comes to the mission, it takes guts.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, I'm very proud. I have a son-in-law who's a member of the U.S. Army, so very proud of him.
Yeah, absolutely. You're listening to Today's Issues. The program is called Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Fred.
Nikki Haley, she was an absolutely fantastic governor of South Carolina. Mm-hmm. And then President Trump appointed her as the United Nations ambassador to the United Nations, U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. She did a bang-up job there, just absolutely incredible. She took on the Arab nations, defender of Israel. I mean, in my mind, I don't think she made a mistake there at all during her time. Well, she's out of that role now, but she is back in the news this morning. She's written a book, With All Due Respect is the name of the book. She's been giving interviews, and on the weekend, she was on CBS. And boy, she is making news because she is pointing out that you remember former Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and White House Chief of Staff General John Kelly. They both left the administration kind of saying they didn't agree with the president, et cetera, et cetera. Well, she is out there telling the world that those two men who had the respect of the nation, for the most part, conservatives, those two men were out to undermine President Trump. So I want you to hear a little bit about what she had to say this morning over the weekend in this interview, and we can come back and discuss it. Cut number three.
Instead of saying that to me, they should have been saying that to the president, not asking me to join them on their sidebar plan. It should have been, go tell the president what your differences are and quit if you don't like what he's doing. But to undermine a president is really a very dangerous thing. And it goes against the Constitution, and it goes against what the American people want. And it was offensive.
That's former Ambassador Nikki Haley. And basically what she was saying, they tried to, Tillerson and General Kelly, thank you.
Who was chief of staff for, 2 years?
Yes. They tried to recruit her to join their effort to undermine the president. And she goes on and she was talking about how they had this idea that they were trying to save the country from the president. Here's a little bit more of Ambassador Haley on CBS Sunday morning selling her book. With all due respect, here's a little bit more of what she had to say. Cut number four.
You're going to impeach a president for asking for a favor that didn't happen and giving money and it wasn't withheld? I don't know what you would impeach him on. I mean, look, Nora, impeachment is like the death penalty for a public official. When you look at the transcript, there's nothing in that transcript that warrants the death penalty for the president. I think the biggest thing that bothers me is the American people should decide this. Why do we have a bunch of people in Congress making this decision?
So there she is. She's talking about the undermining of these people who were high-ranking in the Trump administration initially, but also now talking about this impeachment effort by the Democrats. And she said, this is a president that's under attack, and she's out there with this book, and she is defending him.
I would like to know. I have the utmost respect for Secretary Haley. Help me out,
Nikki Haley.
Nikki Haley. Anyway, Secretary Haley. I had it right. Mm-hmm. She got two first names, right? However, I also have a lot of respect for General Kelly. And also, now, Rex Tillerson was Secretary of State for, what, a year? Something
that.
Like that.
Very short.
I don't think he and President Trump hit it off to begin with. But let me just say, so I kind of would reserve the right to hear from General Kelly on what the issue was at hand, that, and did it happen the way that she described it happening. You know what I'm saying? There's two sides to that story. I do think one thing, Ray, that hurt President Trump going into the White House was he had to select a lot of people that he didn't know.
Right, right.
Because now, and if you would have had Hillary Clinton win, glad she didn't, obviously. But had she won, it would have been business as usual, and you would have had a lot of the same players who had been around Washington a long time, and she would have known who they were at her top levels of her administration. But with the president, you know, he had not been a Washingtonian,
right?
Not a senator or anything like that. So he goes to the White House from Trump Tower in New York and takes over, and he has to. His expertise is business and trade, and he wants to get the economy going. As far as diplomacy, you know, he has to go out and find somebody, right, to be the head of the Secretary of State. So he chooses Rex Tillerson because he has associations as Exxon CEO, you know, had been similar to what a State Department would do, except on the business level around the world. So he knew a lot of people did Rex Tillerson. And so I'm just saying a lot of the turnover and turmoil, such as it was the first couple of years in the Trump administration, had to do a lot with the fact that, you know, he didn't know some of these people he was hiring to do the job, right?
Well, if he were going to do it again, or if you could somehow adjust the clock, he would not pick a Rex Tillerson now,
right?
Because there's a guy I'm sure he's a decent enough fellow, but. In retrospect, looking back, it's hard for me to think of any substantive thing Mr. Tillerson accomplished as Secretary of State. And then finally, he leaves and disappears. And until now, we almost have heard nothing from him. Yeah. I'm sort of scratching my head, Fred, about the Nikki Haley story, because and as Tim said, there is going to be another side to this. And I do not like to use the word coup, but I don't know what else to say. When you have two people inside the White House who come to Nikki Haley and say, we've got to save America from this man we're serving, that at least sounds like it's a coup, not in the literal sense, but it's as if the swamp is inside the White House itself.
Let me just say this, too, Bo, though. She is absolutely correct in what she said should have happened she's absolutely correct. Instead of undermining and try to subvert a chain of command of a president who was duly elected by the American people, and you have Vice President Pence there as well to go to, you should resign and tell the world why.
Yes.
Right? If you feel that convicted, if you feel that convicted about it, instead of trying to recruit members right under the president to undermine him, sound swampish. That does sound swampish to me. Mm-hmm. But all right, we shall return momentarily after this timeout with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Much more in the news that we need to discuss, and Fred will give us some more stories when we get back from the break.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios in the Morning.
The kids are passing through with their big yellow bus, and it says on the side of it, Alexandria City Public School Buses. They're handing the kids signs that say, remove Trump. And the kids are cheering, impeach him, impeach him. So this is a new kind of protest.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Our spiritual heritage tours are coming up in 2020 in June and September. I'm just going to go through the days here that and what we see. On Wednesday, we go out to dinner at Old Town Alexandria, and we go to the World War II Memorial. On Thursday, we go to the Capitol, the Library of Congress, the Supreme Court, the Lincoln Memorial, and the Korean and Vietnam Memorials. On Friday, we go to the Iwo Jima Memorial, Arlington National Cemetery, the White House, Jefferson Memorial, National Archives, and on Saturday, we go to Mount Vernon. Okay, so there you go. I got it all in. You can go and read about all this at our website, spiritualheritagetours.com, spiritualheritagetours.com. That's our Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon tour in June, and then another one in September. And then we also go to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown on a separate trip. So go to the website, spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
What do you see for the next generation? Do you see a prospering nation? Do you see hope? The future is ours to create, and Liberty University is driven to train positive influencers for our country and our culture. Our mission is to guide students toward leadership as servants of the people, defenders of freedom, and champions of truth. Discover how you can impact the next generation of champions for Christ by texting GIVE to 839-858.
The headline on Drudge Report was mighty hard to miss. All caps, bright red letters, Fox shock, 51% want Trump removed. My email was filled with concern notes from our listeners. Is it true? The latest Fox News poll shows that just over half of registered voters want the president impeached and removed from office. Only 40% oppose impeachment. But let not your heart be troubled, America. I'm going to say this quite a bit over the next year. Don't believe the polling data. It's just not accurate. The fact of the matter is that many Republicans, many conservatives, never even get a call from one of those polling companies. Just remember what happened back in 2016. Not a single pollster got it right. The truth is, deplorables don't poll. We vote. To make sure you receive up-to-the-minute conservative news, subscribe to my free newsletter at toddstarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Fred Jackson and Ray Pritchard, and we thank you for listening to AFR. We asked a question a little while ago, I did, and the question was, does serving in the U.S. military, if you come to America a non-citizen, you want to become a citizen, does that post-service make you give you the right to be a citizen? Brent, what did you find out?
Well, this is from Steve Jordahl, who posted on our Facebook page. He said it's coming from a naturalization through military service. If you are serving or have served in the United States Armed Forces and are interested in becoming a U.S. citizen, you may be eligible to apply for naturalization under special provisions of the Immigration and Nationality Act.
Okay, Nationality Act?
Yes, thank you.
So I think that's saying there's a possibility you get special consideration.
Yes.
Is what it's saying there for serving, and as they should.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to imagine there's a minimum there, probably 2 to 4 years, somewhere along in that.
It's really like saying we're going to put you up near the front of the line.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. That's right, Ray. That's a good analogy.
Yeah.
All right. You just don't want to be put up at the front of the line at Popeyes right now.
Because there's some issues there, Tim. That's some issues.
You got to watch your back. My goodness. This is like some Saturday Night Live skit.
I know. What is going on with their chicken sandwiches?
Is this a chicken sandwich thing?
Yeah. This is, yeah.
Tell Fred what's going on. You hadn't been.
I'm sorry. I haven't
been reading this, Fred.
I have missed
Fred,
this.
Fred, tell him what's going on.
Well, Popeyes came out with their chicken sandwich to answer Chick-fil-A, and then they ran out. Then they didn't have it anywhere. Then fights broke out. Then they brought it back, and more fights broke out. So It's got it. You're taking, you know. I
love that chicken from Popeyes.
I tell you what,
you got it.
There's a story here.
Yeah, there's video of Popeye managers or our employees sneaking these chicken sandwiches out the back door. You know, kind of like a black market for chicken sandwiches. I think they're selling them, you know, under the table.
Sell them down on the street corner.
Yeah, I mean, and they're getting in. I don't know how widespread this is. There's four or five or six stores that I've seen in the news last, and it does sound funny, but they are getting in fights about chicken sandwiches at some Popeyes across.
So, what's the do they have a special coating on these sandwiches?
No, they're the Cajun, right? Because that's Popeyes deal.
Yeah.
Okay,
but
a little bit more spicy.
I read somebody said it's better than Chick-fil-A. Find that hard to believe, but
that the sandwich that the
Popeyes is better than Chick-fil-A.
I got to try it. I'm just going to go.
First of all, that's just wrong. We shouldn't be saying that in public.
I'm just going to go. I'm going to have somebody go with me so we can watch each other's back.
Right.
I'm saying.
You need a security guard with you.
All right, folks. We're just having some fun with this.
Just kidding.
This is no reflection on the management of Popeyes, which I'm
go
sure.
Go and have one. Go and buy one. Let us know what you think.
But it's in the news. There, people are getting into fist fights over chicken sandwiches.
It's true.
Somebody breaks line.
It's a great country.
Fred, read about it, Fred. I'm serious.
I knew it had something to do with the chicken sandwich. I didn't realize about the fights breaking out.
Yeah.
There's enough chicken
to
go around.
You
want to
be entertained? You watch some of that video. You know. All right. What else you got, Fred?
Well, starting Wednesday, the Democrats' efforts to impeach the president. They're going to have their first public hearings, they say. So you're going to see a whole lot more of Adam Schiff. Well, this morning, Stephanie Grisham, who is White House spokeswoman, was on Fox and Friends saying nothing will change just because the hearings are going public. And she was asked a few questions by the host of Fox and Friends, Steve Ducey. Cut number two.
There are public hearings starting this week, but clearly they're not going to be public because we don't get to have anybody from our side out there to tell our side of the story. So this is going to be, more of the same as last week. We don't expect anything different.
Stephanie, is there a coordination between the Republicans in the House, the nine that are going to be able to ask a question, and what the president's and your messaging is?
I mean, I think that we all see the same thing that is happening, right? We've seen Adam Schiff and all of his lies. We've seen that they're conveniently ignoring this whistleblower and the fact that his lawyer on day one of the president taking office tweeted out that this president needs to go and that there should be a coup. So I think that in terms of messaging, yeah, we're all on the same page in that we see what's going on right in front of us every day, and we're all going to stand strong for this president.
Now, one of the issues, the Republicans, they would like to call witnesses, and one of the witnesses they would like to call is this whistleblower. And so far, the Democrats saying, no, we don't want to bring him forward. In fact, there are some reports that say that the Democrats are going to turn down every effort by the Republicans to call their own witnesses. Now, you heard last week, one of the witnesses Republicans want to call is the chairman of the committee, Adam Schiff. Because you will remember early on in this story, Adam Schiff initially said his office didn't have any dealings with the whistleblower, any direct dealings. But then they had to change that story because we found out the whistleblower, who Democrats refused to name, but we think we know the name, is a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. And he actually met with Adam Schiff's, some of his office, members of his office. So you have all of this going on in the background.
I will say, I don't know if you guys caught this. Late last week, there was a story about the attorney who represents the, quote, whistleblower.
Yes.
Now, I put whistleblower in quotes because he doesn't fit the legal definition of a whistleblower.
That's right.
He's a guy with secondhand information. Am I right?
That's right.
That's right.
That's all. That's conceded.
Yes.
So he doesn't. First of all, he doesn't fit the definition of whistleblower legally. However, the attorney who represents this fella, and he may have more than one attorney, whose name is out there in the public domain. Do you have it in front of you, Ray?
I've seen it, yeah.
Yeah, I don't have it.
Anyway, his text were, his tweets from a couple years ago were revealed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And This fella is talking about staging a coup.
Yes.
That's the word he uses.
Right. Yes.
I'm not interpreting something he said. The attorney for the whistleblower is talking about the need for a coup against the president of the United States.
Yes.
Now, these tweets where he calls for a coup are from 2017. Mm-hmm. Now, Ray, to use the term coup, what does that imply or what does that mean?
It implies the overthrow of a duly elected government, right? It means they want to get rid of the president, President Trump, in this case, by any means necessary, including outside the legal process.
Yeah.
Doesn't this, you know, when
coup d'etat, isn't that what it?
Coup d'etat.
The full expression?
But you add that to what we know about text messages from FBI agent Peter Strzok.
Right, I know.
2016, and his girlfriend, Lisa Page, talking about the same kind of thing and working with, you know, the Justice Department and probably the White House on discrediting candidate Trump and then President Trump.
Yeah.
So you put all that together. Yeah. Is it any wonder why, you know, some people say President Trump is paranoid about this stuff? President Trump knew all of this stuff was going on in the background, which is why during the Mueller investigation, he kept talking about, you know, the deep state and all of that sort of thing. All of this stuff starts to come out. This lawyer talking about a coup.
Yeah.
Do you understand why the president is so upset about Mueller investigation and now this impeachment inquiry?
The deep state / the swamp were out to get this president before he ever was sworn into office.
That's right.
And they've been subverting him ever since. Not in an honest political opposition way. If that's the way to express it. In other words, you fully expected the Democrats to be against the president on a lot of his policy stuff. That's just we expected that, and that's fair. Mm-hmm. Okay. What we didn't expect or appreciate fully is what we've seen happen and what all has been exposed. This guy, President Trump, has not had a fair shake since day one.
Nope.
All right, and yet he's been able to accomplish quite a bit despite that. And I'm not Donald Trump right or wrong. You know, sometimes he makes mistakes, especially in his tweets, that I would say, you know, you don't need to do that. You're the president. You don't need to be talking about a B-grade actor today, okay, because he doesn't like you or whatever, or he could criticize you. I know he's sometimes a little oversensitive on that kind of stuff. However, in the big picture, the guy was elected president of the United States. He's a patriot. He wants to do the right thing for our country, and he's been undermined and attacked and tried for a coup, and now we know from inside the FBI, I don't know if you want to call that, it was a bloodless coup, what they wanted to do. And by the way, that story's not over.
That's right.
Okay.
Right.
Fred, talk about that.
We're still waiting for the Inspector General's report.
That's one.
That's one report, but we're also
From the Justice Department.
But also, we're waiting another report that goes into the whole background of how Mueller all got started, who was behind all of that.
Right.
So
those are two potential bombshells.
Yes.
That would turn the story away from impeachment, Ray, back on the Obama administration and the Clintons and Strzok and the whole
CIA directors.
CIA and abuse of power, and especially if Comey gets cited for approving these FISA, FISA warrants. Go ahead.
Yeah. How soon is this? Is the IG
2029? We're fully expecting it by 2029,
within a decade,
maybe 28.
Yeah, 4 months ago we were told 2 weeks, but if what we know of these investigations are very thorough. And they're having to go to Italy, they're having to go to Australia and interviewing people because that's how big this web is. If the time is needed to make sure they've got all their ducks in a row before they go public, fine. I'm all for that, if that's the reason.
But they've been going how long now with this report? A year?
Well, the first one has been going for about a year, Inspector General. The second one is about 6 months.
Yes. Yeah. But the Inspector General is like a year. I would be a nervous if I were the Democrats from this regard. This investigation has been going on a long time, and it's in secret. It's in secret. It's it's like the Inspector General for the Justice Department. If you want to know what his job is, it's like an auditor, all right? Financially, it would be like an auditor that works on the inside but is sort of independent to make sure the integrity of the organization is, especially accountability, because this is the people's money. This is a federal agency. So you have oversight by an inspector general. And so he's supposed to be like an ombudsman at a newspaper, for example. So you're supposed to be able to find out anything you want to, ask anybody anything, and get to the bottom of stories should there be any scandal within your own agency. Well, this guy's been investigating this for, I'm guessing, about a year now.
It seems that way.
And the report was rumored to be coming out in June, and here we are about Thanksgiving. It's still not out. So I've got to think that leads you one to believe there's a lot of stuff that this guy's going to come out that's not going to be good for James Comey and some of these other names that we're all too familiar with.
Well, can you imagine? We're just 80 plus days away from the Iowa caucuses, all right? So let's talk about the convergence of all of this, the so-called impeachment inquiry, which I'm not sure anymore there's even going to be an impeachment vote. That this is, someone described this morning, this Democrats' impeachment inquiry has an attempted distraction away from the reports that they know are coming, those two reports that are coming.
Could be.
And for the Democrats, they're in trouble already with their candidates for president. And then the next story here is Michael Bloomberg, New York billionaire.
Let's move into that story now.
Yeah.
He was making noise on the weekend that he is not satisfied with the way things are going. Now, he said initially, if Joe Biden jumped in, he was going to stay out. Michael Bloomberg.
He's former mayor of New York City and a multi-billionaire.
Yeah, worth $50 billion or more. But he's not happy.
Multi.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. So he's out there now publicly grumbling about, Joe Biden not doing well, and he doesn't like Elizabeth Warren with, her extreme socialist, and then there's Bernie Sanders. So he's making rumblings that maybe he'll make a pitch to throw his name in the ring. Now, I think the Democrats are looking at this, and they're sure hoping that doesn't happen because they see a repeat of 2016 in this. Because if Michael Bloomberg, let's just say he gets into the race, and Hillary Clinton, there's still some chatter over on that side about her getting in the race too. But if Bloomberg gets in, let's say, and he was to win the nomination with his money and power, et cetera, then you're going to have kind of a repeat of 2016 where Bernie Sanders supporters, Elizabeth Warren supporters, they would never support, they'd never turn out to vote for a Michael Bloomberg. So you're going to have this divided Democrat camp again. And I think Bernie Sanders' forces are stronger this time than what they were in 2016.
So, Fred, just to be clear, it's trying to understand, thinking about what you just said, is his candidacy... Okay, he's not a threat to Biden because he likes Biden, I guess. Mm-hmm. His candidacy is a threat to the people further to the left, like Sanders and Warren. Those are the people he doesn't want to see them get the nomination.
Exactly.
He doesn't think they can beat President Trump.
That's right.
They're too far left. Although Bloomberg's pretty left wing himself.
He is.
On social issues, and I don't know how he is on fiscal issues, but he was a Republican.
Yes, at one time.
Mayor, right?
Yes.
The guy, he's not going to have to raise money.
No.
I mean, he's worth 50, you said 50 billion?
Over 50 billion.
So he makes his house payment every month.
That's real money,
wouldn't
folks.
You say? I don't think he's been late.
Yeah. No.
But anyway, it's that.
He can finance his own campaign, no problem.
Now, what would be interesting here is if somebody comes in like a Michael Bloomberg. This is why this intrigued me when this former Starbucks CEO, he was thinking about running. Mm-hmm. What was his name? As he was thinking about running as an independent.
Yes.
Right? If somebody runs as an independent from the left, mm-hmm. that could really further damage was it Schultz? Is that his name?
Howard Schultz.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's since said he's not going to run.
Mm-hmm.
But had Schultz run, he would have siphoned off 5% of the vote from the Democrats, giving them zero chance to beat Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still going to be an uphill climb for them.
Yep.
But if you throw a third party person in there, like a Green Party or... You know, or somebody who has some name, Bloomberg, for example. Now, Bloomberg, I don't think would run. He's running as a Democrat. He's not going to run. He hasn't made any, said he's going to run as an independent. But you could have if, you know, anyway, it's going to be interesting to see if anybody arises from the left. If you don't get Warren or Sanders, if you get a Biden, I could see, Ray, somebody coming in from the left who don't like Biden. He's too conservative, right?
Oh, you mean like a third party candidate?
Yeah, like Ralph Nader used to do.
That's the end of it for the Democrats.
Well, I know that. Yeah, I know, but I could there's a reason Ralph Nader ran.
Right.
He didn't think that Al Gore was to the farther enough left on the environment, right?
Right.
In fact, you could argue that Ralph Nader cost Al Gore the election because of what happened in Florida. He siphoned off like 2% of the vote, which had Al Gore got that, he would have won Florida and he would have been the president. You remember that? If you remember that.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You remember the Dangling Chads or whatever. What was the name of that group?
Hanging Chads.
Yeah. Huh?
The Hanging Chads, right.
The Hanging Chads. You remember that group? They're pretty good. They were a one-hit wonder. But anyway, all right, so we'll see what happens with Michael Bloomberg. But you're right, a billionaire of any kind is at odds, with the exception of George Soros, is at odds with the left wing of the Democrat Party.
And the left wing of the Democrat Party is growing. You know, when you take the support Elizabeth Warren has and Bernie Sanders, you put those forces together. And you're talking 40-45% of the Democratic Party right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, they got problems.
Oh, do they ever?
They got problems. By the way, it was the Hanging Chads.
The Hanging Chads.
I call them the Dangling Chads. The Hanging Chads.
The picture is still there.
Yeah.
Picture's still there.
What else you got, Fred?
Well, now, late last week,
mm-hmm.
Donald Trump Jr., who I think you can call a chip off the old block.
Yeah, fair to say.
He's out there. He has a book,
right?
And he's going across the country.
It's all triggered, right?
Yeah, I think he was in Berkeley last night or over the weekend. But I'm not sure why he agreed to do this other than he had a plan. He agreed to go on ABC's The View, all right? And the stars there, of course, are Joy Behar and Whoopi Goldberg. Now, they've been out there. Anything bad that could be said about Donald Trump, they have said it.
It should be called the left wing view only.
Yeah. I'm not sure if hate is too strong a word that those women have for Donald Trump. I
don't think Whoopi Goldberg hates the president, but I do think Joy Behar.
Behar.
She doesn't make any bones about it.
No. So Donald Trump Jr., peddling his book, agrees to go on The View last week. If you didn't think for a moment this was going to be an encounter, an uproar, that was settled pretty quickly. So here's a little bit of Donald Trump Jr. duking it out on The View last week, talking about Behar's blackface and Goldberg's rape comment. And a little bit of background here. Of course, they've been insulting the president. They say the president's terrible with all the things that he has to say. Well, Donald Trump Jr. had a plan. He was going to bring up Behar dressed up in blackface some time ago, and Whoopi Goldberg had some terrible things to say about this Hollywood producer back several years ago, and he had, I think, had to leave the country because he was having
Roman Polanski.
Rumors were he was having physical relations with very young women. So anyway, here's Don Jr. He's being pounded upon by these two women, and he brings them into reality. Cut number five.
She's talking about lowering the discourse to his level, which is horrible for this country. Even if people are working, we don't want to have a country like that. Do you understand that?
We've all done things that we regret. I mean, if we're talking about bringing a discourse down, Joy, you've worn blackface. Whoopi,
you said that Roman Polanski,
it wasn't rape when he raped a child.
You want to bring this up? The question came up.
I did not go in blackface, please.
No, she was not in blackface.
Thank you.
She was. She was. She was. Well,
was there a picture or did she finally concede the...
I think she called it a brown face. She kind of darkened her face in this picture.
Well, then she's lying because she knew what she was doing. She dressed in brown faced in quotes several years ago?
Here's the evidence. Cut number six. Here's Joy Behar admitting to blackface.
It was a Halloween party. I went as a beautiful African woman.
Oh, yes.
Wait a minute.
But that's my hair.
You can be, yeah, but it is.
Wait a minute. She just said that she didn't dress in blackface.
But back several months ago, she said she went to a Halloween party dressed as what?
An African woman.
A beautiful black woman.
Yes.
Right?
Well, which?
Which is it?
Which is it?
Well, Don Jr., this is the point Don Jr. was making.
Yeah.
You've admitted to doing it.
Well, I think the broader point was that they wanted to get Don Jr. On, and he went on willingly because, as you say, he's promoting his book. And you know, they were saying you're a terrible person, basically, right? Mm-hmm. And your family's a terrible.
Your dad is awful.
You've hurt a lot of people. Well, he turns it back on them and says, "So have you."
Yeah.
So have you. So none of us are perfect.
Yeah.
And we all have our issues, right? I guess that's what he was trying to.
That's
say.
It.
And it worked.
And it worked. By the way, he was accusing Whoopi Goldberg of what remarks that she made about Roman Polanski and raping. Here is her comments about Roman Polanski that to prove what Donald Trump Jr. was saying about her. Cut number seven.
No, it wasn't rape.
Child molest, maybe? I'm not sure.
It was something else, but I don't believe it was rape.
So Donald Trump Jr. is exactly right, 100% true in his accusations against these two women, but you just heard these two women deny saying what they said.
If a conservative has said just what we heard Whoopi Goldberg say, they wouldn't have a career.
That's right.
It would be over.
Huh?
That's right. It wasn't rape. Come on.
Yeah, and Megyn Kelly got fired, basically, from NBC, right?
Mm-hmm.
For just talking a reference about a Halloween party from years ago where somebody wore a blackface. And here is Joy Behar's.
Yeah.
She wore one.
Yep.
And she's a liberal's liberal.
Yes.
Oh, my word.
Yep.
Hypocrisy abounds.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, Fred.
You are welcome.
All right, Ray, Steve Jordahl is going to join us in a few minutes. You staying around?
I'll be here.
I know one thing. You're not going on your bike ride today.
That's right. I'm not going. It is really snowing right now. I'm staying inside where it's warm and dry.
We'll be back. We'll be back in a minute.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.